And I invite you to turn in your scriptures to reflect meditatively a little bit on Romans 15. No one likes to hear bad news. It's something that we don't like, and so I resolve on the first Sunday evening of this new year to preach a hopeful message, and I think there's a lot of hope in here how we can live our lives as God's people, because we all could use some good news, right? And everywhere we turn, there seems to be negative news. And I said, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to pound this evening on our obvious sin. We could dwell on that. And so this word came to me. Actually, in your bulletins, it says Romans 15, 1 through 3. I think I forgot to put the 13. It's 1 through 13. So there's a lot of fodder here for hopeful reflection. So Paul says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even if Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, here we have it, we may have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring God praise. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. That's from Deuteronomy 32, 43. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. That's from Psalm 117. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, the one who will arise to rule over all nations. In him, the Gentiles, here we have it again, will hope. And then this benediction that we often use as a benediction when we're leaving the assembly of God's people. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Indeed, hope, it moves us forward. It gives us energy. It lightens the darkness. It fuels our faith, and it purifies our environment. It keeps us anchored when the sea all around us is raging, whatever's going on in life. You know, if you think about the hope, I feel like this passage that Paul is, this is sort of some like an afterthought. But when he's not thinking about what the rest of his book is about, you know, if you could divide up Romans, you could just say it's a little bit like the Heidelberg Catechism: sin, salvation, and service. That first he focuses on the fact that we our fallen man. He hits that hard in the early part of Romans. And then he begins to talk about the hope that we have in Christ. You know, Romans 8 is just a wonderful, therefore, you know, oh, miserable man that I am, he says in the 7, and then he goes, but I have hope. Thanks be to God, I have hope. And then he just moves to that, well, then how should I live my life? The sacrifices, be a living sacrifice, he says in Romans 12. Well, Paul knew what a compelling testimony it would be if God's people individually, but also then as we unite as a people, just live our lives marked with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. What a testimony that would be for the culture. And his heart's desire for the people, I think, is summarized so well in that last verse we read. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I actually like J.B. Phillips' translation of that. He kind of paraphrases and it expands sometime a little bit. Here's how J.B. Phillips says it. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. You know, you just picture walking around and they're like, oh, you know, you're just oozing hope and joy wherever you go. The power of not just positive thinking detached from the Scripture, but hope that is rooted deeply in Scripture. And I think that's why Paul in this, when he's just sort of giving some afterthoughts, what's he doing? He's spewing out a Bible knowledge, an indication that he was not just presenting a sermon from the overflow of his heart. He was grabbing from the foundation of what he knew, the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, and that's why there's so many different references that if you want to do a study on it, you know, he's quoting Psalms and Deuteronomy and Isaiah, and it's just coming to him. What a powerful testimony. What a hopeful, joyful thing that he has going there. I often think, like, sometimes you know people like that who are just positive all the time. You know, a little Christmas story that maybe you've heard this story before about two boys in the same family. One was just positive all the time and the other was negative. And the positive boy, it seemed like no matter what happened in life, he was always overflowed with joy. His parents decided to test him on that. So what they gave him for Christmas was a box. Nice box, wrapped, beautiful Christmas present. And what was in the middle of that box was horse poop. All right? Okay, you know, this is just a story, but one boy gets that and like, you know, like, oh, you tricked me. You know, this is the terrible thing. The hopeful boy, he looked at that. He was all excited when he opened the box. He said, where's the horse? You got me a horse. No matter what comes out of that box, we can have hope, not just because it's the power of positive thinking, but our hope is rooted all the time in Scripture. Now, we do acknowledge that this does not come natural to us, not to any of us. Some people are more tend to be more inclined in that direction, but it comes from a lifelong practice of living with God, of understanding that through the years, he is faithful no matter what we go through. He is faithful. He's going to get us through. And when you have a history with God, as your life is lived out, you can say again and again, I don't know what this future is going to hold, as my Yeshua said it so well, but I know who holds the future. Paul says, before Jesus came into our life, we were hopeless. He said that in Ephesians 2:12. He said, remember, at that time, before you came to know Jesus Christ, You were separate from him, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. What time? Well, before Christ took up residence in your life, we had no hope. So much of what we see happening around, apart from Jesus Christ, is trying to base our hope on things, on material possessions, on positions, on power, on whatever we can accumulate in this life, the stuff of the here and now. And we base our hope in that until that hope disappoints us. Well, those are shaky foundations on which to build our lives. So it doesn't come naturally for us. But then a beautiful thing happens. Christians' hope is, secondly, a happy certainty. It's created not by wishful thinking. I hope the weather will be sunny. I hope that I will pass my test. I hope that the Vikings will beat the Packers. You know, you have those kind of hope, wishful thinking. One of the greatest motivations we have is this desire to please ourselves. Our hope is often built on what pleases us. Paul is talking about a different kind of certainty created in us that God reveals in his word to be true. I think I can call your mind and have us recall that our hope in life and in death is that we belong to Jesus Christ. I love the words of that song that we sang tonight. Him alone do we own. It's not like I own God like he is my personal genie to give me what I want. But he is a God that we own. We are a part of him. We own his promises. His promises are our possession. And that's a beautiful way to think about that. And especially as we hear the oncology report of the doctor or gather at the bedside of a loved one who has been sick and walk with somebody who is chronically ill, who seems to have no certainty and hope for the future in having their health restored. It's the kind of confidence that we can have as we gather at the graveside of a loved one to say that we are not saying goodbye to a loved one. We're saying, see you later, because we believe the promises of God that in Christ Jesus, our hope is sure and certain. Paul says in Romans 5:5, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. What a beautiful picture. The Holy Spirit's being poured into us, and there is more Holy Spirit than we have the capacity to contain. And so as he's being poured into us, it just spills out wherever we go. Beautiful, beautiful picture. That brings us to our third point. That hope is a Christian's heritage. It's part of our inheritance. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The only thing that can give us living hope is not our ability to make things better, not our power to make our life a little bit better, but God is going to bring to us a day. There's a day coming when he himself will make all things new. The family of God is a fellowship of hope. People who come into the context of this fellowship ought to see hope leaking out from us everywhere. As we hear the news cycle, as we take in the disappointments and the unsatisfaction of living in a fallen world, we do not come with our heads held in shame, but we gather with God's people, not cynical, not infected with the poison of despair, but overflowing in hope. And that is our hope because it is grounded in God, and His Word is the source and the end of our hope. I hope I'm not just speaking a language to Christian, you know, these are the pat words to say. Paul points out in Romans 15, verse 4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and encouragement they provide, we may have hope. What a beautiful thing it is. The Bible is not just filled with stories of successful people who have figured out a way to cling on to God and get through life. No, these are people like you and like me who walk through every ordinary day circumstances and learn more and more that we need you, God. The Lord is my portion, says Jeremiah in the book of Lamentation. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in Him. He says, I will call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. We love that text from Lamentations, right? If you ever read the book of Lamentations, there is nothing happy about that book except this verse right in the center of it. And I think that's the beautiful thing. Whatever we go through life, we don't have to hold our head in shame, because God gives us hope. Every morning He gives us a new supply that we can go into our day and go with our heads up high. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The hope that Jeremiah and the psalmist proclaimed, it's not just wishful thinking, brothers and sisters. He is rooted. Their hope and our hope is tied to God and the promises in His Word. So, you take a look at that phrase, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. You see, if our trust is our ability, if we put our trust in our abilities, like we can put our trust in government to solve our problems, that isn't going to work. We can put our trust in medicine to heal us, to keep our life living longer, in education, if we just knew more, we say, if we put our trusts in our 401k, our investments, in our relationships, in anything other than God, then what are we going to do when those things are removed? You know this, and I'm just reminding us of the hope that we have. Hope that springs eternal is rooted in God, who stands behind the promises that He makes to us. Hope that when Jesus says, for example, take heart, I am going to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I will come back. That's a promise that we can take to the bank. Jesus is the source of our hope. So I hope that's your hope. I hope that you and I are overflowing with hope in 2026. As we trust in Him, we have hope. In the pain, bitterness of loss, the disappointments we experience, the tender wounds of our failure, may hope abound through all of our trials. Amen? Amen. Father, we have heard Your Word, and we ask that You will soften our hearts so that You will fill us with Your light, that we may overflow with hope no matter what happens. Not just for our own sake, Lord, but so that wherever we go, school, at work, as we interact with our family, that more and more the hope that is our certainty in Jesus Christ may dictate how we live our lives. So thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you will do what it takes to make that happen. For the glory of your great name, we pray. Amen.